the way of the cross. You know, marketing firms in our world have learned how to make money from churches. One, of all the congregations around you see all kinds, all different shapes, sizes, and all kinds of things available. One congregation has sent out a glossy advertisement describing their casual, creative, contemporary church. They list five reasons for us to come check them out. First, jeans and t-shirts, no suits and ties. The second, no guilt, leave your wallet at home. Three, positive, upbeat messages you will enjoy. Fourth, awesome programs for kids and teens. And the fifth, music, pop, rock, country. Our bands truly rock. You know, I'm pretty sure that this church would think of me as a casual dresser, wallet carrying, guilt filling, traditional, classic, and contemporary music loving on my way to be a senior citizen. You see, they're just probably not what I'm thinking. Another church advertisement promises, we won't make you listen to organ music. Oh my goodness. It won't take more than an hour. Just come. We won't visit you unannounced. We will let you remain anonymous. We won't bother you. We even serve espresso drinks. In other words, we have a Starbucks in the foyer. But to my knowledge, none of these are mentioned in the description of the early church that we find in the book of Acts. You see, the cotton candy, give me what I want, name it, claim it, gain, is godless sales gimmicks that might draw a big crowd. But so does folks like Luke Bryan and Beyonce. They draw big crowds too. But you see, selling God the way you sell cereal is not what Jesus had in mind. You see, Simon Peter was one who understood that. He understood about church marketing. He recognized that entertainment is always in style and sacrifice is always out. Talking about taking up crosses is no way to sell the church. When Jesus starts preaching and suffering, when he starts talking about that and rejection and death, the disciples, you know, they don't want to hear it. They say, oh Lord, you know, we don't want you to talk about that. And Peter taps Jesus on the shoulder and motions him to come over and says, let's have a word in private. Jesus, what are you talking about? You know, your popularity is skyrocketing. People like you. They're following you. You need to stop all this talking about dying, okay? You need to calm down. Now, Peter had a good argument, and he himself had made a few sacrifices to follow Jesus. He and his brother Andrew had left their fishing business and staked their futures on the belief of what Jesus was going to make them do and be, that they were going to be there. And up to this point, things were doing pretty good. And he feels as if he has made a wise decision. Peter watched with approval as Jesus had healed the sick, fed the hungry, and told wonderful stories about God's love throughout that time. Everything was just going great. Now Jesus wants to mess it all up with talk about sacrificing and dying. A leader is supposed to keep followers from suffering. Who wants a leader who leads them to suffering? You see, shouldn't faith make us suffer? In the hymn that we sing, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, it goes, safe and secure from all alarms. We come to church in part because we hope it will make us happier. If we are comfortable with who we are and how we live, then Jesus' words may not make much sense to us. But Peter took Jesus aside privately. But guess what? Jesus lets Peter have it, though, in front of all his friends. And he starts by calling him Satan. Well, now, if you come to church and you're doing good and all of a sudden you're doing something and I turn around and say, all right, Satan, get behind me. Are you going to come back? I don't think so. Peter, he called him out. God in Jesus called out Peter and he said, Satan. And then it went downhill. It kept going downhill from there. Jesus gathers not only just the 12, but everybody who would listen to him. And he says, if you want to become followers, if you want to become my followers, let You need to deny yourselves every day. You need to take up your cross and you need to follow me, he says. Now, some of the rest of what Jesus says is easier to take. What will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Sounds enough like you can take it with you. You cannot take it with you. Can't take it with you, so what's it going to cost? We find things like that when we go out to Chinese restaurants and we open our fortune cookie. Says you can't take it with you. Have a good day, whatever it might be. But what can we possibly do with deny yourself, take up a cross, and follow me? Apparently, Jesus does not accept everything. And Jesus does not expect followers to fare any better than he did. You see, he says, you know, it's exactly what's going to happen to me. Oh, you've got to follow me. You've got to follow me all the way. What does it mean to follow someone who has been executed by the state? Are we expected to die for what we believe? Do we have to give up personal ambitions, forget about our own comfort, speak to people we do not want to speak to, listen to people we do not find interesting, care about people who made the mistake of being born in the wrong country, be true in those places where Christianity is not welcomed, and walk toward rather than away from people who are hurting? Is that what we're supposed to do? Why would we follow someone who suffers and then tells us that we have to do the very same thing? Who doesn't already have enough suffering in their lives without looking for more? What will we have left if we give ourselves away? Why did the disciples follow Jesus? Why didn't Peter leave and just go back home and start fishing? You see, because Jesus practiced and pictured the character and possibility of all of us at our best. See, Jesus knew. He knew what we could do. He knew what we could handle. Because Jesus gathered around himself a community, and he gave them the gifts of the church through pain and joy. Because all of it is not peaches and sunshine. Part of it is pain and part of it is joy. Because there has been no one since to match Jesus' words and deeds. You see, our day-to-day decisions are not likely to lead us to being martyred. But each day we have to decide if we will give away our time and attention. You see, giving our lives away may mean turning the other cheek. It may mean standing with the people who are losing. It may mean doing good that will have no applause. It may mean sitting in a home where someone has died. And a lot of you have done that this week. You've been there for your neighbors and friends. It might mean treating discarded people as children of God. It might mean shopping for someone else's groceries. It might mean baking cookies for others to eat. It might mean reading stories to someone else's children. It could possibly mean taking flowers to someone who's not quite our type. It might mean visiting someone else's mother in a nursing home, watering someone else's plants, washing dirty dishes that we did not dirty, discussing current events that don't interest us at all, talking about faith when we would rather be silent, doing good for people who will do no good for us in return, weeping when others weep, praying not for an easy life, but for strength to give our lives away. That's the one. Praying not for an easy life, but for the strength to give our lives away. And discovering that if there's nothing for which we would die, then we don't have enough for which to live. You see, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross is a daily decision. Are you willing to take up your cross and follow? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this day for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life that come each and every day by knowing him, by loving him, by worshiping him. We ask, Lord, this day that you continue to be with us in this time as we come to a time of decision, as we come to a time of thinking and pondering, as we come to a time where we have to either let go of ourselves and let God take control, or either we have to recommit what you have called us all to be into, to love you each and every moment of the day. We might not always agree. We might not always be happy. But Lord, you give us the strength for each moment to follow you. Be with us now, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.